And so a Maori government, and it's not the same thing, but you can think of it as a citizen's grand jury, if you will, that we would do here. But there's more to it, and I'll explain what the Maori government is. But they have prosecuted, convicted, and sentenced four high-ranking New Zealand officials, as well as 118 members of parliament to prison for facilitating these criminal actions. This needs to happen everywhere. Now, what is this Maori government? Well, first of all, it goes back to their history, to the early 1800s. The Maoris were the indigenous people. They were recognized in pre- and post-treaty British imperial law. And I have to say, the Maori are held in high regard in New Zealand. Everybody wants to claim, as part of the woke stuff, it's cool to be a Native American, I guess, or whatever. Well, it's cool to be a Maori there. So there's going to be a certain social cachet with this that's going to help them. The first collective form of Maori government came about in 1805 and translated into English texts as the Chiefs of the Confederation of the United Tribes of New Zealand. And since 1835, this organization has been recognized under international law as the lawful government of New Zealand. So they signed in 1835, a large group of northern chiefs signed a treaty. With this declaration, the British recognized New Zealand as a sovereign state. An article in the Otago Daily Times explained the main parts of the document declare that New Zealand is an independent nation, that all sovereign power resides collectively with the chiefs, that no government can exist unless appointed by them, and that they request that the then British king would be a protector from all attempts upon its independence, quote unquote. In other words, kind of a we the people type of thing, right? The British colonial office agreed to do this as long as the Maori protected British citizens living in New Zealand, including their property rights, their human rights, and their freedom of choice. Well, the problem is, as Russell Means pointed out in his book, Where White Men Fear to Tread, he said, the American government has broken every treaty it ever made with the Indians. And he goes, the treaty that they made with you, white man, is called the Constitution. And they've broken every aspect of that as well. What are you going to do about it? And that's basically where they are. But I'm glad that they put this thing together, went through a legal process to show what really should be happening. So they say this treaty of Waitangi is widely accepted as a constitutional document that establishes and guides a relationship between the Crown in New Zealand, embodied by the New Zealand government, and the Maori. So they're saying, we've had this, Maori government has been in recess, is the way they put it. We're going to reconstitute it. The website says that we recently reemerged out of necessity to provide shelter in the form of the native Maori jurisdiction. Pressures surround people of the land due to the implementation of specific plans originating from the Crown and beyond, spanning the entire globe. And so that's what the background of what this organization is. But again, like I said, you can kind of think of it, although they've got a long legal tradition that they can refer to and claim as authority. It's very much like a citizen grand jury. So what have they decided? Well, they convicted four officials of COVID crimes. Unfortunately, they didn't come after Jacinda Ardern. I don't understand. They need to cast this net a little bit wider. I think all these medical professionals who were secretly given and told, don't talk about it, given an exemption because they were essential. Yeah. Well, what does that tell you? That tells you that they knew that there was a high chance that they were going to get harmed by this. Oh, well, we need you still there. So don't take this thing that we're going to have you administer to other people and tell them it's perfectly safe. Talk about fraud on a high level. 17th of June, 2023, a dedicated team of men and women opened the first sovereign independent grand jury court of justice for the Maori government. The first case was brought on behalf of all the people of New Zealand, they said, and referred back to the 1835 Declaration and also to crimes of genocide and crimes against humanity. Four high-ranking New Zealand government officials were summoned to appear before the court to have charges against them confirmed. Minister for Public Health Service Andrew Little, former Prime Minister Christopher Hipkins, former Director General of Health Ashley Bloomfield, and MedSafe Group Manager Christopher James. None of them, of course, showed up. No response. So they went ahead with a trial. They convicted them, told them to show up for the sentencing, but of course they did not as well. They were found guilty of breaches of the Declaration of Independence of the United Tribes of New Zealand, guilty of committing crimes in their response to the COVID-19 pandemic. And three of the four individuals named were sentenced to 10 years in prison, liquidation of all their assets, banned from holding office in the future, banned from leaving New Zealand, and to be further investigated for crimes against humanity. Well, that's a good start for those types. I would like to see that happening to a lot of people in the American government and every other government, because every government on earth is guilty of these crimes against humanity, these genocidal crimes. One of the four was sentenced to 5 years in prison, and the rest of this, liquidation of assets, banned from politics, banned from leaving, that type of thing. Then they also held a tribunal looking at the culpability of members of parliament. 118 members of parliament were accused and found guilty of supporting and facilitating the actions of these convicted criminals. All 118 were sentenced to between 3 and 10 years in prison, financial penalties, banned from holding office in the future, banned from leaving New Zealand, and also to be further investigated for crimes against humanity. They don't have the power to enforce this. They do have a good legal argument, but they don't have the power to enforce this. But this is a pattern for what everybody should be looking for everywhere. This is what should happen. Steve Kirsch is saying the vaccine killed 3.5 times more Americans than COVID virus. It wasn't the virus that killed anybody. It was the hospital death protocols reported as the virus killing people. But again, he did this. It's like online surveys and things like that. I think that it, quite frankly, is a much higher number. But we all understand what has happened here. And so he says there's other people who have come up with similar things. He talks about Wayne Allen Root. He says he has numbers that are even more skewed, 30-1. The probabilities here are so astronomical that even if the ratio isn't at least 3.5 times, Wayne Root example couldn't even exist if I interviewed every person on earth, he says. But still, again, Wayne Allen Root still promotes Trump, the father of the vaccine, and cynically tells him, don't talk about the vaccine. Trump ought to be banned for life from taking political office because of his involvement in this. Biden should be banned for life because of his involvement in this. And yet there are two front runners. Isn't that amazing? And pretty much everybody else that is running was involved in this as well, including Ramaswamy, who was a part of COVID response team in Ohio. They are all guilty of this. And so RFK Jr. is not guilty of that. He's got some other issues there. The Rasmussen survey found the COVID vaccine killed as many people as COVID. Again, they died from the hospital death protocol or from other things, other respiratory illnesses that were labeled as COVID. And again, if you believe there's a virus, you also understand that ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine would have been a safe and effective treatment to stop any of that. The American public and 75% of the public believes the narrative took the jab, wouldn't be able to spot a vaccine death, even if it happened on the same day as vaccine, says Stephen Kirsch, and he is right. That's where we are right now. So that brings us to, again, more articles being written about Rand Paul, this one from the American Conservative. I have a picture of Rand Paul. Headline is Exposing Deception. Rand Paul is taking his fight against Fauci to the next level. No, this is a massive misdirection, as I've said before. Senator Rand Paul has a new book called Deception, the great COVID cover-up. The irony of this is that what he is doing in terms of focusing on the Wuhan lab is the biggest cover-up of the hospital death protocol and the vaccine that we could possibly have. That's amazing. And so Rand Paul calls it the Great Deception. He is a part of the Great Deception to keep us from seeing what happened with the lockdowns, with the hospital protocols, and with the vaccine. No, no, no. Let's go back and focus on Fauci and Wuhan and the Chinese. There is a veil of silence over excess deaths. Not science, silence. This is from the Brownstone Institute. A deafening silence over excess deaths from governments. And also, you know, a great deception from Rand Paul. But Andrew Bridgen, and I played, I showed you some of his speech, where he has called for debate. Nobody wants to talk about the excess deaths. He called for it many times, and a couple dozen times. They kept shutting it down. Finally, they said, we can talk for 20 minutes. And there was only two or three people from Parliament who showed up to hear it. The gallery was full of visitors, and the gallery cheered him on. But these criminals in Parliament don't care. You see, they're just as criminally involved in this as the people in New Zealand's Parliament. He said, we've experienced more excess deaths since July 2021 than in the whole of 2020. These deaths are not disproportionately, however, of the old. These excess deaths are striking down people in the prime of their life, but no one seems to care. I fear that history will not judge this house kindly. Excess deaths have been seen across all age groups, he pointed out during his speech. Again, you know, the real plague, the real pandemic was that.
The David Knight Show is a critical thinking super spreader. If you've been exposed to logic by listening to the David Knight Show, please do your part and try not to spread it. Financial support or simply telling others about the show causes this dangerous information to spread farther. People have to trust me. I mean, trust the science. Wear your mask. Take your vaccine. Don't ask questions.
Using free speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.